It's that time again. It's time for Even.
Steven!
It's good to be a Steve, but we're here today with someone with basically two letters for a name.
Yeah. And neither of them stand for Steve.
It stands for Jesus Paul.
Right. Just Perfect was actually this was a few years back. I was well into my 30s when a friend said, does JP stand for Just Perfect? And I go, well, maybe it does now.
Yeah, it does now.
Thanks for the idea.
Absolutely.
So yeah, we're here with JP. And is it Dutton or Dutton?
Well, depends on, you know, what part of Europe you're visiting. You know, if you're in England, of course, it's Dutton.
Like cute as a Dutton.
Right, exactly. Right. And I used to actually say that. I would say really? Dutton like Button until sure. Yellowstone came out.
Okay.
And now Dutton is like a significant last name.
See,
like,
I haven't caught up with that show.
Your dad, David Durr, right away was like Dutton, like the Yellowstone. I was like, right.
So JP has recently joined our team as worship pastor and is now part of our faith family. Actually, was part of our faith family prior to that. So you've been a part of the First Samuel series, both kind of online, but also just on Sunday mornings.
Yep.
So we thought it'd be kind of cool to have you, like, get to know you first and then give you some ideas of what are some impact points maybe from First Samuel for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but just so people can get to know you a little bit more, where do you live?
Yep.
And then a little bit about your family.
Yeah. For those that don't know me, my wife and I moved to Grand Haven in 2016 and rented a house. We rented a house for just over a year and then bought a home across the river.
In Spring Lake.
In Spring Lake.
So you and your family moved across. Tell us a little bit about your family, your kids.
Yeah, yeah. My wife and I have been married 21 years. We got married young, started having kids young. So we actually have a 19 and an almost 18-year-old. Jonas, our oldest, is a freshman at Cornerstone University. He leads worship at Celebration Church here, a local church in Muskegon area every the week. So he's been able to come and be a part of some of these Samuel series. And my second son, Levi, is a senior at WMC Warriors, Western Michigan Christian. He plays varsity tennis, varsity basketball, and now he's got a major case of senioritis.
Oh, sure. I do too.
So that's Levi. He's been here on Sunday mornings. He comes in at like 6'6". And then my wife and I, we have a gap. We waited, and I was never ready to have three kids. And it doesn't feel like I was ever ready to have three kids.
But Rochelle did. She wanted more.
I talked her out of it.
Oh,
really,
okay.
I did. You know, and I guess a longer story, people trying to get to know me. I was on staff full-time at a large church in Las Vegas. My wife was on staff as the children's director. We went to a marriage conference. And the senior pastor, who was basically wrapping up the marriage conference with the question and answer, and somebody said, what's your biggest regret? Never forget what he said. He said, my biggest regret was not having more kids. And at this point, I had fully convinced my wife that two was enough. We had our two boys, two incomes, life is perfect. But as he said it, I could hear God speaking through him. And I was like, la, 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 like kind of fingers in my ears, like, I don't want to hear you. But I prayed about it for a month, and you know, to advance the story along, I told Rochelle and she was ready right away. And we got pregnant right away with our daughter, who now is 9. Her name is Ezra. And she was just, when we found out we were having a girl, we were so thrilled. And then we wanted her to have a little sister. We call them, it's the swim buddy system. Swim buddy means you have to be one grade apart.
Yeah.
So our boys are one grade apart. So basically if they
kind
get
a year and a half, maybe
as long as the school years,
yeah.
Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They totally can be as whatever the gap is in age, but as long as they're only one grade apart, if one of my sons gets an invite, the other one just automatically goes along as a swim buddy. So with our daughters, we wanted to do the same thing. And so when we found out that Ezra was going to have a little sister, we were, the moon, over the moon. Her name, and she's just turned 8. Her name is Micah. So we have 4 kids, 2 boys, 16 months apart, and then a big gap, and then 2 girls, 19 months apart.
That's awesome. And you know what? That segues perfectly into really how David chose his wives as swim buddies. He just married them in pairs.
Just like, hey, you're great.
Sure.
Hey.
So JP joined in on the First Samuel series. What are some things that God's been speaking to you about through that book and through the way he's been speaking, whether it's on Sunday mornings or just through the text?
Sure. I've been able to, this is my first time being a part of this podcast, but I've been able to listen to the podcasts. The Even Stevens on Fridays have been really fun. Good.
Long time listener, first time contributor.
Yeah. Long time. Smash that like button. Right. Subscribe.
But I've been able to listen to Even Stevens, really enjoyed that. What I like about tackling a topic like this and getting deep into the scriptures is you have several people that can contribute on Sunday mornings. One of my favorite things about Watermark is that we empower women to take the stage and to speak. So Erica was a part of this. She's going to be preaching this Sunday. A little plug for this Sunday. But she had a great sermon on spiritual abuse in January. And I said, kudos. I was actually just talking to Erica on Monday. I said, like, way to go. Like, very brave of Watermark to give anyone permission to get on stage and talk about this. And I said, like, kudos to you, Erica, for being brave to step up and tell your story. You know, and she did an excellent job. The next week, Mary was on stage talking about hearing the voice of God. It's the passage where Samuel's awoke, you know, early in the morning and goes to Eli and says, what do you want? You know, and he says, I didn't call you, go back to bed. I've always loved that story, always. I've always loved that story. Even from and her perspective on it, Mary's perspective on it was great. One of the big takeaways from that Sunday, she said, when she was talking about distinguishing the voice of God, and she said, God calls me by name. And that really stuck with me. And I immediately, it felt like a truth had been spoken and it resonated in my spirit when Mary was on stage saying that, because I thought, I can testify to that. There's voices that get loud, right? And I think we all can equate to that. It's like, well, that's a loud, authoritative voice, but he's not calling me by name. That voice doesn't know my name, right? So when she said that, that was a big takeaway.
That's great. That's awesome.
And I think you guys were on stage trying to make sense of something, you know?
Yeah, we which is usually the way it is.
Yes.
We're like, come save us, JP, with a closing song.
That's about as much sense as it made.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I was thinking, you know, we can't fit all of 1 Samuel between when we were starting and Easter. That was the goal. Hmm. But it was too big of chunks, so we had to kind of pick. So we kind of we're ending on Sunday mornings, just a little shy of getting fully into like the final 5, 6, 7 chapters or whatever.
Right. And we trust that the podcasts are going to carry the heavy lifting of actually getting into each section.
Right. Sure. Yeah, totally. But I think what it's really become for me, and I guess I didn't realize as much when we began, was that it was going to be kind of King Saul centric in the sense of he's the primary character that we're learning from and looking at. And it's been a real challenge for me as a follower of Jesus, as someone who's trying to lead or influence, of the kind of person you want to be and how much character, how much the importance of faithfulness in that internal world, how important that is. Because I think for Saul, his internal world, how he viewed himself, all those different things, I think really played out then and did a lot of damage. He kind of leaked out all over the place,
right?
His unhealth.
Yeah, right.
So that's been a really interesting takeaway for me in the midst of this whole series.
Right.
Yeah, it's been interesting to see God knit this together as well, because we picked 1 Samuel a while back. It's all, and we're, as a faith family, all across the board in terms of how we see some things. But it's speaking very directly to leadership and the character of a leader, and that counts for everybody top down. So it's felt timely in terms of, okay, God, it feels like you're getting it. You're our attention here. Mm-hmm. What are you wanting to say about that? And then even, interestingly enough, Amazon Prime has come out with a series called The House of David. Mm. And I've only seen the first episode, but if you've seen The Chosen, it's similarly like, this brings this really cool realism and depth while not going like verbatim out of scripture, but really filling in some gaps. And so it's just interesting exploring these characters from different angles and hearing God speak through these narratives of what has happened or what has possibly happened.
Yeah, right. And a story of that, because each Sunday there's an opportunity to respond, right? There's been a couple, if I could even share a story.
Yeah.
There's been moments of confession. Other Sundays there's been moments of repentance. I remember, Tom, so you led us through a passage with the Ark of the Covenant and it was lost. And, you know, it was an excellent sermon, but there was an opportunity at the end even to repent of the idea of like us making moves, charging the battlefield, and then asking God to move on our behalf versus the idea of saying, God, where are you leading me? But at the end of the first, there was this opportunity and Tom said, hey, some of you might want to stand and sing this song, and you move to the piano. Some of you might want to stay seated. Others, you might want to kneel. And I immediately just felt this opportunity, this invitation, really, to just get up from my seat and just move to the back corner. I remember kneeling down on the concrete floor, and it's January, so it's cold.
Yep.
But I just felt a warm blanket come over me in a very significant way, and really cool, and a very tender moment for me. The second service, my whole family came out, which was really cool. But the same sermon was preached. Same invitation, stand, sit, or kneel. And I just took a sit-down position, closed my eyes through the entire closing song. But then when I opened my eyes, my son was knelt down on the floor, assuming that same posture. And that, I'm telling you, as a dad, that was, I'm still unpacking how significant that was. But so that's, I mean, as far as many series as I've ever been a part of and being a pastor's kid, I've been through several. This series has been very special. And that was a very special moment.
Man, and it's so powerful. I mean, it pulls on your dad heartstrings when you get to see your kids hearing directly from their father in heaven and responding. Oh, that's just so good.
Right.
So that's a God thing.
That's awesome. Well, JP, thanks for sharing those personal interactions, getting to know you a little bit better too. Well, good. Well, let's close our time in
by
prayer.
Singing Waymaker.
Right.
Yeah, we could close with a song and see how would that, you'd be the high voice.
Let's do doxology, baby.
JP would be the medium voice, and I'd be the the monotone.
Carrying
voice.
The bass.
You're definitely the bass. No one's stealing that role from you, bro.
Exactly.
I remember you on the stage, even talking about the Samuel series. I was singing Run to the Father as a closing song, and I'm singing it in C, the recorded key, and from the front row, I mean, as without a microphone, Pastor Stephen Durr, when I run to the Father, fall into grace.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's the dad voice.
I don't understand. Like when you guys go, it's in this key. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Right.
I don't understand keys.
Yes.
I just understand loud.
Right. Well, exactly. And if you've never been on stage, you actually have to check your in-ears to make sure it's not you. It's Steve Durr that's singing, that you're hearing his voice in your ears.
The reason why I sing, where I stand in the front row to sing, because if I'm behind people, they'll just start looking behind, you know, like, what's going on here? Well, Steve Thompson, do you want to close us?
I'd be happy to close us. Well, Father, first of all, we thank you for knitting together this particular staff, for bringing JP to us to lead us in worship. And thank you for his experience, for the family that you've blessed him with, for the stories of how you've been faithful in providing and the, with kids and just all of the ways in which you've blessed them and spoken to them and led them. And we're thankful for them and the blessing they are to our lives already early on as we're just getting to know them. Father God, we thank you for this book of 1 Samuel, for how you're getting our attention. Lord, continue to make our hearts soft and open like David's so that we also can have hearts that are like yours, that are after your own heart. And so, Lord, we leave that in your hands and thank you so much, trusting that that's exactly what you're wanting to do. And we can't wait to tell the stories of how you've been shaping us all along. In Jesus' name, amen.